Hallelujah. Make sure I'm plugged in. Hallelujah. John chapter 13. We're going to just read some scriptures here tonight. I'm going to comment on them, and you're going to be blessed. Amen? Because I'm the pastor, and I said so. Amen? You know, there's only one way to walk in the Spirit. And you know what it is, don't you? There's only one way to be spiritual. There's only one way to walk in the Spirit. And it's not to sit in a basket of fruit, in a cross-legged position, with your eyes rolled back in your head, as I said to you before, your hands up toward the sky, chanting a mantra over and over. That's not spiritual. That's ridiculous. There's only one way to be a spiritual person. There's only one way to walk in the Spirit, and that's to walk in love. Because the Bible says God is love. If you're going to walk with God, if you're going to be like God, if you're going to share in the power of God, you know, you've been created in His image and in His likeness, Genesis 1:26. If you're going to be like God, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to walk in the miraculous, you're going to walk in love. Amen? It's not possible to experience mountain-moving miracles until you first develop mountain-moving love. Amen? There's only one way to mature as a believer. And that's to mature in love. I said there's only one way to mature as a believer, and that's to mature in love. Amen? You know, you are the righteousness of God. The Bible says He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. To be made righteous in Christ, that word righteous means equity, innocence, and holiness. Equity means to have the same standing with God as Jesus does. When the Bible says you're the righteousness of God, it means you have the exact same standing with God as Jesus. It means you are as innocent in God's eyes as Jesus is. You are as holy in God's eyes as Jesus is. You might not act like it all the time. You might not feel like it all the time. But you are it. And you can't grow in righteousness. You're as righteous as you're going to ever be, as you're ever going to be. The Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. God's righteousness doesn't need improving. Doesn't need to be improved upon. Amen? It's perfect. You can die and go to heaven right now. And when you get there, you'll find out you're no more righteous in heaven than you are on earth. That's what God has done for you. Amen? He's given you perfectly acceptable standing with Him. The same standing with the Father that Jesus has. You cannot grow in righteousness. Say, I'm it. But you can grow in love. And you better grow in love. We better grow in love, because the only way we can mature as believers is to mature in love, is to grow in love. The only way we can walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. Walking in the Spirit is not goosebumps. Spiritual people, on some of these, the Bible uses the word, so I'll use it, fools who go around prophesying to everybody. We believe in prophecy. But we don't believe going over the edge with it. Some fools, and the Bible calls them fools, go around prophesying the will of God to everybody they encounter to try to appear spiritual. That's not spiritual. That's the devil half the time. You get people all goofed up. Being spiritual is walking in love. Even when those times come when you would prefer anything else to it. If you'll choose love over hatred. If you'll choose love over retaliation and retribution. If you'll choose love, God will jump over a million others just to get to you and perform your miracle. Because God is love and He's attracted to love. So we're talking about love because the Lord put it on my heart for the rest of the year to talk about miracles in the Sunday services. And that's what we're doing. And I know I've been threatening to teach on angels for the past 3 weeks. And I've come in and I've taught on everything but. We've taught on miracles and faithfulness. We've talked about miracles and human weakness. We've talked about, what else did we talk about? Miracles and derailment. But this Sunday, I give you my word. The Lord's already given me the message. We're going to be talking about miracles and angels, part one. We're going to be spending some time talking about angels around here. The Lord put it on my heart to speak, to minister, teach, and preach on miracles for the rest of this year. And we're going to do it. But He also put it on my heart to minister on the subject of love on Wednesday nights, because you can experience mountain-moving miracles unless you first develop mountain moving love. Amen? So we've seen, last time we were together, we talked about love being a fruit of the recreated human spirit. Remember that? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, for the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the recreated human spirit. In Galatians 5:22, Paul's talking about, there's a capital S on that word spirit. It shouldn't be there if you look it up properly. In the original Greek, it's a small s, and it's a reference not to the Holy Spirit, but to the human spirit. And the fruits of the born-again, recreated human spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, gentleness, meekness, self-control. And I probably got them all out of order, but the one I want you to look at is love. The fruits of the Spirit are love. Love, the love of God, is a fruit of the recreated human spirit. It's on the inside of you. If you're a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a brand new creation, a brand new love creation that never existed before. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a fruit of the recreated human spirit. Amen. The Bible says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but faith which worketh by love. No love, no faith. Amen. Believe in God for miracles, for supernatural intervention in our lives. And refusing to walk in love is like walking up to your car and saying, take me to L.A. When we get there, I'll fill the tank. It doesn't work that way. You got to fill your tank with love. Amen? Actually, you have to cooperate with your human spirit tank, which is already filled with love. God is in there. And God is a spirit, Jesus said. He lives in your human spirit, and God is love. God is not power. God is love. As I said earlier, religion magnifies the power of God, but the Bible magnifies the love of God. Amen? So we're talking about divine love in this series. Amen? Tonight, we're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to move through these quickly. We're going to talk about divine love in the new covenant. You know, I asked you to go to John chapter 13. It's only the second time. You know I never arrived there till the third time. Amen. In Hebrews 8:6, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises than the promises of the Old Testament. Paul told the Hebrews, if the Old Testament was so perfect, there'd be no need to replace it with a new one. The Old Testament's been replaced with a New Testament, a love covenant, amen? And there's only one basic command, Jesus said, for walking in that covenant with God, and it's found right here in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. How many commandments? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another, unconditionally. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Notice he said again, a new commandment. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. He didn't say, a new age idea I give unto you. He said, a new commandment give I unto you. It's a commandment. It's not a cute little Sunday school suggestion. It's a commandment. Amen? And it's one commandment that replaces all 10 commandments. It's one commandment that actually replaces the entire Old Testament. Amen? In the Old Testament, those people, because Jesus hadn't come and purged their sins with His blood, they were spiritually dead on the inside. The Spirit cannot go where the blood has not cleansed. I'm going to say that again, in case somebody didn't get it. The Spirit of God cannot go where the blood of God has not first cleansed. Now, they weren't able to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus because He hadn't shed His blood yet. Amen? God allowed animal sacrifices to be temporarily offered for the covering of sins in the Old Testament. But they were dead on the inside. The Holy Spirit couldn't live on the inside and guide them from the inside like He guides us today. So they had to be guided from where? The outside. Through precepts and statutes and rules and regulations, which are called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The Hebrew people call it the Pentateuch. They also call it the Torah and the Pentateuch, basically mean the exact same thing. To some Hebrews, the Pentateuch is inside the rolls, and the Torah is the rolls itself. It all depends on the Hebrew, that you're the Jewish person that you're talking to, amen? But the Pentateuch and the Torah, all Hebrews agree, are the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in those books, in Exodus chapter 20, as well as in other places, are the Ten Commandments. The Pentateuch, the Ten Commandments are often referred to as the Pentateuch. The Ten Commandments are often referred to as the Torah. But really, the Pentateuch and the Torah are the first five books of the Bible. They comprise about one-third of the Hebrew Bible. And those people in the Old Testament were bound to all those rules, all those regulations, all those statutes, all those ordinances. They had to follow them outwardly to be kept on track, because God couldn't live on the inside of them to keep them on track like He can live in us today. Can you see that? But now that we're born again, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. The old method of rules and regulations and precepts and in ordinances and statutes, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the rules and regulations that guided them from the outside have passed away, and all things are new, and all things are now of God on the inside. On the inside, say on the inside.
On the inside.
In the New Testament, we're guided from the inside, not the outside. Because God lives in us now. Jesus has come. He's cleansed us from our sin through the shedding of His blood. And the Holy Spirit can go where the blood has cleansed. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, so we are a perfect dwelling place for the Holy Spirit of God. Act like it or not. Feel like it or not. Look like it or not. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17. If any man is joined unto the Lord, or woman, if you're a woman, you're a man with a womb, so you're a womb man, but you're a man. And if any man is joined unto the Lord, he is one spirit with Him. In our first lesson, we saw that Jesus said in John 4:24, He said, God is a what? He's a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's a spirit. And Genesis 1:26 says we've been created in God's image and in God's likeness. And if God's a spirit, that makes you a what? A spirit. You're not a body. You're a spirit. You just live in a body. You live in an earth suit. As you're going to see here in a few moments, you can't live in this earth without an earth suit. That's why God prepared a body for Jesus, so He could come here and live here legally. You don't belong here if you don't have a body. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you hear that? You are a spirit. Didn't we read in Job chapter 32, verse 8? Elihu, one of Job's counselors, he said, there is a spirit within a man. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Where's your spirit? It's on the inside of you. The real you, the spirit you, the part of you that's going to live forever is a spirit, man, created in God's image and created in God's likeness. Amen? You have been recreated. My point is this. In the spirit of love, love lives in you. And it's not possible for you to hate anymore. Now, your head might give you a fit. My head gives me a fit. Your flesh might give you a fit. My flesh gives me a fit. Of course, I'm married. Barbara's head will give her a fit. Her flesh will give her a fit concerning me. But when we listen down on the inside, we just say, whoa, hold on a second. Listen on the inside. We realize, you know, we don't despise one another. This is the devil. We love one another. It's not possible to hate anymore if you're born again, because you've been recreated in the image of the God of love. Isn't that good information? It's blessing me, amen. Hallelujah. I'm blessed just telling you. Amen. So, go to Romans chapter 13. As I said, we're going to cruise through some scriptures here before I dismiss you. And you're going to be blessed. Amen. There's one new commandment. It's the commandment of love. And it overrides the Pentateuch. It overrides the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit said through the Apostle Paul, that love walking in love, you're going to Romans chapter 13, amen, is the actual fulfilling of the law. It's possible for you to fulfill the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, every command and ordinance and precept and every statute and ordinance of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's possible for you to fulfill every command of those books of the law by walking in love, by fulfilling one command and walking in love whether you feel like it or not. Now, we don't all get it right. We don't all get it perfectly. Amen? But we try. And God's not concerned with how often we stumble. He's concerned with how often you're going to get up when you do stumble. Amen? Amen? You can do this. You can walk in love and you can see the supernatural in your life. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Look at right here in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Say amen if you're there. Owe no man anything but to love one another. It doesn't mean you can't borrow and you can't loan. Amen? Otherwise, the Bible contradicts itself when God says that He'll make you the lender and not the borrower. If it's wrong to borrow, it's wrong to lend. What this is actually saying is, we have a debt of love to pay to one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, here's the law. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness or rob someone of their good name. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or understood and fulfilled in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. Look, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So love won't kill, it won't steal, it won't cheat, it won't lie, it won't covet. Amen? If we'll just walk in love, we don't need any other commands. That's how love supersedes the old covenant law. Now turn over in your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 8. We're looking at scriptures here tonight, amen? And you're being blessed. Amen? It's not possible to experience mountain moving miracles until you first experience mountain moving love. Now, of course, we need to combine mountain moving love with mountain moving faithfulness. Amen? If we're faithless in church attendance, if we're faithless to pay tithes and offerings, we can't just walk in love and think not showing up at church and not paying tithes and offerings, God's going to honor that, because He's not. That's disobedience and that's not love. If you're faithless to your local church, that's not love. Amen? If you're hindering your local church from growing, if you're hindering your local church from reaching the community, that's not love. Amen? So we have to be faithful. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we, I know I told you to go over to Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm going to be over there two more blows of the whistle. I'll be there. Amen? A fast-moving train blows its whistle three times before stopping. Amen? Where was I? Did you forget already? Hallelujah. What was I saying before that? Forsake not the assembly. Where is that in the Bible, by the way? Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with one another, particularly as you see that day approaching. If you need a miracle, you better be faithful. Amen? Faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the supernatural. Amen? And the Bible says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. This is your storehouse. If this is where you go to church, it doesn't say send them to the TV evangelist. It says bring them to the store. Bring, bring, bring. Say bring, bring, bring. Bring, bring, bring. Say it fast. Bring, bring, bring. Bring, bring, bring. Do you realize how silly you all sound up here? Hallelujah. Bring your tithe to the storehouse that there may be the strong meat of God's word on the table. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If that's His war name, that's His battle name, the war of hosts. He said, I'll send my angels to do combat concerning your finances. Prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not pour out such abundance of blessing upon you, you'll have to make room to receive it. We have to be faithful in church attendance. We absolutely must be faithful in tithes, and we must be faithful to walk in love. If we will, we will walk in the miraculous. Pastor John, how come we're not seeing more miracles? Where do you go to church? I don't go to church. That's why. You're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Amen? Miracles are all over. I said, you're right, they are all over. They're all over the earth, but you're not seeing them because you live in disobedience and you don't walk in love. And just because I'm pointing at you doesn't mean I'm talking to you. Doesn't mean I'm not either. How I'm not talking to Barbara. Barbara walks in love. Amen? Hallelujah. It's easy for her to walk in love. She's married to me. Hallelujah. That's a prophecy. It's a faith statement. It's a statement of faith. I'm not going to say otherwise. Amen? Look at right here. We have a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's pick it up, I believe, in verse 6. You getting anything out of this already? But now, has He, Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. See, the first covenant, if you look up here and don't read ahead, and stay with me, I'm not rebuking anybody. Amen. I'm just, stick with me and hear this right here. The first covenant did not offer salvation or eternal life. That's what was so imperfect about it. It didn't. You know what it offered you? You believed back then it wasn't possible to be saved as in born again back in the old covenant, because how do you get saved? You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you'll be saved. It wasn't possible to do that. The old covenant assured you a place in paradise. And paradise wasn't in heaven back then like it is now. Remember on the cross, Jesus said to the thief, He said, this day you'll be with me, and this day you'll be with me in paradise. Where did Jesus go that day? He went to hell. Hell was a compartment. Paradise was a compartment in hell. And that's and it was an abode for the righteous who believed that Jesus was coming. And you can read that in Luke chapter 16. Lazarus and the rich man. Remember they cried over and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over to put his finger in the water and touch the tip of my tongue to give me some relief. They had water in that compartment. They had relief. It was air conditioned. Remember when the Bible says that Jesus, when He rose from the dead, He led captivity captive in Ephesians chapter 4. Stopped by the earth on the way up from paradise. The Jews called it Abraham's bosom. Jesus called it paradise. It was a compartment in hell for those who believed Jesus was coming, where there was provision and protection. It was air conditioned. There was water in there. There was food to eat. Amen? And when Jesus led captivity captive, He led all those people after the end of His 3-day stint in hell, His 3-day gig in hell, on the way up and out, He led all those people out of paradise with Him, including the compartment called paradise, and moved it into heaven. Now when you die believing Jesus has come, not that He's going to come, but that He has come, when you die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You go immediately into paradise, which is in heaven. Paradise used to be a compartment in hell called Abraham's bosom, Luke chapter 16. Read it before you go to bed tonight. It'll bless you. It's been moved into heaven. Amen? Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. That's where the lie of purgatory came from, in the Catholic Church. Amen? That's where it came from, Luke chapter 16. Paradise, a compartment in hell. Did you get anything out of that? No salvation, no eternal life provided in Moses' law. Just a compartment in paradise where you would wait for Jesus to come and take you into heaven. Amen? We don't go down there anymore. When we leave these bodies, we go immediately. 2 Corinthians 5:8 through 10, to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. That's one reason why this covenant's better. Amen? Let's keep on reading. For finding fault in verse 8 with them, the Old Testament laws, He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the same promise. You know this, Galatians 3, 13, 14, and 29. Amen. It's talking about you too, not just Israel. Amen. It's talking to Abraham's offspring, and we are Abraham's offspring if we believe in Christ. Amen. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Look right here. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind, and I'll write them in their hearts. That word is spirit. I'll write the law of love in their spirits. This has happened. This is what you're living right now. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The Apostle Paul said, write this in your notes in 2 Corinthians 3:3, that God no longer writes His laws on tablets of stone. He no longer writes His laws on parchments with ink. But He has now written His law on the tablets of human spirits. We are living epistles of love. God's love has been directly infused into our human spirits. And we only have one command that we have to follow now. I'm not saying you don't have to obey the New Testament. I'm saying if you'll follow the law of love, even when those times come when you'd prefer anything else to it, if you listen to your conscience, follow the law of love, you'll never break the law of God. And that's why it's a better covenant as well. There's only one commandment. Jesus said a new commandment. Not 10 commandments, not 5 books, not 26 books. A new commandment. This is how all men will know you're my disciples, that you have love one for one another. And that's how you're going to experience mountain moving miracles. Amen. The law of divine love, or James called it the royal law of love. Jesus' little half-brother, remember? Bunk bed share. Slept in the upper bunk. He called it the royal or the noble law of love. And we're going to look at that in a minute. Amen. But first you're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. We no longer need written rules and regulations to keep us from going out of control like Israel needed. Amen. All we have to do is listen to our hearts, our born-again human spirit, listen to our conscience, and we won't break the law of God. Amen. Paul said in Romans 9:1, and I asked you to go to Hebrews 10. It's only my second warning. In Romans 9:1, Paul said, my conscience beareth witness with the Holy Ghost within me. Do you know that your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit? That's what Paul taught the Romans in Romans 9:1. When your conscience is telling you to not do something, that's the Holy Ghost talking to you. When your conscience is telling you to do something, somebody said, I don't hear the voice of God. How come, Pastor, I don't hear the voice of God like you do? I say, you ever hear your conscience speak to you? All the time. That's the Holy Spirit. Paul said, my conscience beareth witness with the Holy Ghost within. Your conscience is the voice of the Holy Ghost talking to your spirit. You do hear the voice of God. You got a conscience? Did you ever hear your conscience speak? Then you've heard God speak. Amen? Okay, here's the third time. Where are we going? Hebrews chapter 10. We're talking about the law of love. Amen? Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant, the first system of animal sacrifices, that he may establish the second, or the Christ system of sacrifice. Amen? By the which will, talking about the New Testament, or the last will and testament of Jesus, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jump down to verse 16. We're just looking at scriptures. I'm impressed to do this and just comment as we go. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days. After what days? The days before Jesus came and purged you with His blood, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, does that word spirit again, and into their minds, meaning I'll enlighten your mind to my word. I'll fill your spirit with my love, and that's how I write them upon your heart. In your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. There's only one command. It's written in your heart. It's the law of love. It's the law of love. And it'll keep you out of a kettle of fish every time if you listen to it. Amen? When we violate, I'm guilty, amen? I'm guilty opening my big mouth and not listening to the voice of conscience, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and saying something I shouldn't have said, and regretting it, and having to go back and apologize. Amen? Twice in my marriage alone. Praise the Lord. You laugh when you're not supposed to, and you don't when you are. Hallelujah. Listen, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, now that you're born again, you can trust anything your conscience tells you to do. Anything. Before you were saved, Paul said we were all children of wrath. Children of disobedience, children of the devil. We were one in spirit with Satan. Our spirits were in union with Satan before we were born again. That's why Jesus had to come and deliver us. Amen? And at that time, before we were saved, you know you could not trust your conscience because your conscience told you to do things before you were saved and you justified it and you did it. And you look back now at the things your conscience told you to do and you think, "Woo! I should have had a V8. What in the world was I thinking? Why didn't my conscience convict me of that back then like it does now that I'm saved?" Because Satan lived on the inside of you. The spirit of the wicked one, Paul said, not the spirit of Christ. You couldn't trust your conscience. If you're not saved, you cannot trust your conscience. It'll tell you that anything is acceptable. Right? But now that you're saved, your conscience doesn't permit you doing things. You don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to talk about it. And you surely don't want us to know about it. Amen? Hallelujah. But your conscience, now that you're born again, you can trust anything that comes out of your spirit. You can trust anything that comes out of your human spirit. You can trust anything that comes out of your conscience, because Paul said, "My conscience beareth witness only with the Holy Ghost." Now, conscience is the voice of God. It's the voice of love. Love won't fornicate. Love won't commit adultery. Love won't steal. Amen? Love won't destroy someone's good name. I don't need to tell you what love won't do and what love will do. We're all adults in this room. Amen? We all know enough about the Word of God to know what we should and we shouldn't do. Amen? Listen, you can't trust your head even though you're born again. You can trust your spirit, but not your head. Your head's still goofed up. I was looking at Helen, but I didn't mean anything personal. All of our heads are still goofed up. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind." Your spirit got delivered. The Holy Ghost moved into your spirit. You can trust your spirit, man, but you can't trust your head till you renew it on the precious, holy, written Word of God. That's why he said, don't do things the way the world does them now. Transform your mind on the renewing of God's Word and do things that way. You can't trust your body. Your body's as squirrely as your head. It's not been redeemed. That's why Jesus is coming. The plan of redemption hasn't been completed. Your body hasn't been redeemed. That's why that thing gives you fit. Amen? But Jesus is coming to redeem that old bag of bones. In the meantime, you got to pull your body and your mind in line with your spirit. And you can do that just by walking in love. Just don't do what love wouldn't do. Amen? Go over there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, real quick. Hallelujah. Love of God hasn't been shed abroad in your head. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God's been shed abroad in you what? In your heart. That's your human spirit. Amen? Keep in mind, the Apostle Paul said, "You are a spirit." Say, "I am a spirit. I am not a body." Paul said, "You are a spirit. You have a soul. Let your mind, your will, your intellect and your emotions, and you live in a body." That's your earth suit. Amen? Now, I'm not going to keep you much longer, so just relax and receive this. Amen? Did you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Look what Paul said. He said this, two yous. Two yous. Look what Paul said right here. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, "I keep my body." You see that? "But I keep under my body." There's two yous. There's two Pauls. He said, "I, the spirit me, I keep my earth suit, my body, under," and I bring it into subjection. "I keep under my body." Paul said, "I'm not a body. I'm a spirit, and I keep my body under subjection. Lest that at any means, by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, in 2 Corinthians, we won't have you look at it for time's sake. It's Wednesday night. We need to dismiss you in a few minutes here. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that we have an inward man and an outward man. Paul said, though the outward man perish, say outward man. And let me remind you again, if you're a woman, you're a man. The Bible didn't forget you. Amen? The book of Hebrews applies to women. You don't need the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was really written to tell married couples, Who should do the coffee in the morning? Hebrews. That's why I make the coffee every morning, because my Bible says Hebrews. If you're a woman, you're a man. You're a man with a womb. You're a womb man. That's why you're a woman. God hasn't forgotten you. Don't let anybody convince you He has. Amen. Man is just a generic term for the entire race. And the Bible says, though my outward man perish, getting older, isn't it? Isn't it? You're not getting younger. It's perishing. The inward man, on the other hand, I have five more fingers. Okay, enough of that. While on the other hand, the inward man is renewed day by day. There's an outward man and there's an inward man. Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, you're not a body, you are a spirit. Amen. The Bible says, while in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7, I believe, it says, while we are at home in the body. We are at home in the body. We're absent from the Lord. Who's we? Our spirit. We're at home. Our body is like an apartment we live in. It's like, in our spirit, is like, our body's like a balloon. And our spirit is like the breath that keeps the balloon inflated. Amen? Your spirit gives animation to your body. As soon as your spirit leaves your body, that thing hits the floor and gets to stinking, and we got to do something with it now. Amen? But you continue to live. The real you continues to live. Paul said, I'll be known in heaven even as I'm known in the earth. If Barbara were to pass away right now, she's not going to, and go to heaven, and I came along 10 minutes behind her, I passed away, my spirit left my body, I'll recognize her in heaven because I recognize her hair. She will look exactly like she did on planet Earth. In heaven, she will. Her body looks like her spirit. My body looks like my spirit. I look the way that I do. I have a big nose because I got a big spirit nose and my flesh is stretched over it. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? You'll know me in heaven even without my body. But one day, Jesus said in John chapter 5, 28 and 29, those who are in the grave will hear His voice. Some will come forth to the resurrection of life, and others will come forth to the resurrection of damnation. And our bodies will be rejoined to our spirits. Jesus will perfect our bodies to be perfect, just like the body He lives in right now. And we will live in these bodies, these very same bodies, through eternity in that perfected state. But you have to keep in mind, you are a spirit. You are not a body. Amen? You have an outward man, you have an inward man. In your inward man, you've been born again, you've been recreated in the image and likeness of God, and God is love, and it's not possible for you to hate anymore. If you think you hate someone, it's your head or it's your flesh, but it's not you. Listen on the inside, and you'll realize, you know, I really don't hate that son of a... I really don't hate anymore, do I? Amen? I'll tell you a testimony before I let you go. Matter of fact, why don't you just go ahead and stand up, amen, of an epileptic boy. Stand right up, praise be to God, hallelujah, stretch your legs. I read of a woman whose son was an epileptic. And she had prayer. He was just a young boy, I don't know, maybe 8 years old. And hadn't quite reached the age of accountability to where he knew how to use his own faith yet. And he had epileptic seizures. And she was taught this from the Word of God by a minister, that if she would walk in love, she didn't have to tolerate the devil bringing these illegal attacks anymore against her son. She had taken authority over the spirit of epilepsy in him. The fit stopped, and if I'm not mistaken, about a year later they came back. But over the course of that year, she had gotten revelation of the possibility of having mountain-moving faith for miracles if you walk in mountain-moving love. When that spirit came back and started attacking her boy again with epileptic fits, she didn't even bind the devil. You know what she did? She started telling the devil, I'm walking in love. You can't do that to him anymore. I'm walking in love. Faith works by love. I'm walking in... She said the fit stopped. And every time he'd even begin to show symptoms, his eyes rolled back in his head or whatever, she'd say, no, devil, I'm walking in love. You can't do it. And the fits would stop. Years later, the minister went back to that church who had taught her the importance of walking in love. And she said, he hasn't had an epileptic seizure in years. He got delivered by my walking in love. Whoa! Love opens the spout where the miracles come out. But you got to be faithful in church attendance, and you got to be faithful with tithes and offerings. James chapter 2, I'll just read it to you. In verse 8, this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, slept in the upper bunk. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well, or you'll prosper exceedingly. He called it the royal law of love. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. If you love some people and you don't love others, you're convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in the one point of love is guilty of breaking the whole law. Say, I'm a lover. I am not a hater. Say it like you mean it. Say, I will walk in the royal law of love. The love of God is in me. The love of God dominates me. God, forgive me for ever breaking the law of love. I will walk in the law of love. I will talk the royal law of love. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I will obey the one new commandment. I will be a mature believer. And I will respect God's law of love. And I'll repent when I miss it. And I'll get right up. And I'll keep on loving again. Now, if you have need of healing in your body, hallelujah. If you have need of healing in your mind, I'm just going to pray over you. And then I'm going to pray just over the whole group this evening. Amen. I'm just going to release my faith on your behalf. If you've been missing it concerning the royal law of love, now you've just asked God to forgive you if you have. And He's a forgiver. He doesn't hold a grudge. He said, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. And then we're going to sing a song. And we're going to be dismissed. And we're going to ask my wife Barbara to close with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the healing virtue of Jesus Christ into every person in this room who chooses to receive it as a conscious act of their own free will. I release healing into their minds. I release the power of healing into their bodies, Father, into their minds, into their families, into their finances, Lord. The healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just receive it. If you've been faithless in church attendance, if you've been faithless, you need to understand. Part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. You need to repent. If you've been faithless with tithes and offerings, it's okay. There's no condemnation. You just tell God. You don't even have to get caught up. Just say, God, I won't fall behind anymore. And I'll be better in church attendance. And I'll be more faithful to do everything that you're telling me to do. And I will walk in love even when those times come when I'd prefer anything else to it. And you can receive this impartation that's coming to you for healing in your mind. Healing in your body. Healing in your marriage, in your family, with your children. Just receive it. Just receive it now in your heart. You out loud with your mouth say, God, I receive it now. In Jesus' strong name. Wherever you need to be blessed, you just receive it now. Father, you said concerning the work of your hands, command ye me. You said direct my power where you want it to flow. And if you'll walk in faithfulness and obedience, I'll cause it to happen. Father, I'm asking for your power to fall in their lives. In ways, God, that they've never expected before, if they can believe it. Jesus said, all things are possible if only you believe. I release the healing balm of Gilead in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Receive an impartation for blessing. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed by the laying on of hands. Hallelujah! Lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and rejoice and thank Him. Oh, God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your virtue. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us 70 times 7, 490 times a day. Once every 2.5 minutes, God. The same way you require us to forgive, you forgive us. We receive it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And devil, we're telling you, we're walking in love. You can't curse us anymore. We're walking in love. You can't hinder the miraculous in our lives.